Welcome to Delight in Grace, the teaching ministry of Rich Powell, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Winston-Salem. You've heard the expression, work hard, play hard. Well, both working and enjoying are built into this life that God has given us. In Ecclesiastes 11, Solomon offers us wisdom for both areas, reminding us that both our work and play must be anchored in an accurate view of eternity and a submission to our Heavenly Father. Let's listen in. Today's broadcast was originally preached on July 22nd, 2018 at Grace Bible Church in Winston-Salem. You can hear more at www.delightingrace.com.
So let's unpack them here for just a moment. First of all, knowing and pleasure. Life in a nutshell, right? Is sowing in wonder, knowing and pleasure. So to what does this call us? First of all, it calls us to humility. It calls us to humility. Because look at what we can know and must know. We must know that we can run down the aisle. All right, I'm just kidding. Verse 1, remember the day, here it is, listen to me, look at the text of Scripture, okay? So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all, but, you got this? Let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. What is he saying? The days of darkness, what is that? That's the unseen world. You know what that is? That's the grave. That's where you are after you are under the sun. Now, understand, Solomon had far less revelation about the afterlife than you and I do today. We live post-resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was not. So he had far less information than we do about this. So that's why he says the days of darkness. That is after under the sun. That's when you've bought the farm, you're lying in the casket. Okay? What is he saying here? What is the meaning of what he's saying here in verse 8? Enjoy life, yes, but remember this, life is what? It is short. Life is short. It is a temporary trust. Life is very short. Like Heather wrote about this morning in that blog about her friend Dennis, 39 years old, and he's no longer there. Separated. Life is short. Look what he says at the end of verse 10. At the end of the chapter. This is how he ends this chapter. The last phrase of verse 10. For youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Youth and the dawn of life are vanity. You know, if I could be really crazy this morning, I would require everybody under 30 years old to recite that with me. Right? Youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Why does he say that? Because what is the characteristic of youth and the dawn of life? Two things. Number one, I am invincible. Right? But here's the other one. Not only do you feel a sense of invincibility, like nothing's going to happen to me, I'm so young, right? But here's the reason why. I've got my whole life in front of me. You know, I remember thinking that last week. And then I remember, wait, that was 20 years ago. I've got my whole life in front of me. So you think there's an eternity. You see the path of your life going down the road and it just goes into these clouds and you're not even thinking about the end of your life. And that's why Solomon says youth and the dawn of life are vanity because they don't think about the end of their lives. You must. Because this life is short. It is very short. If you were to take eternity represented by that wall to that wall and one continuous line, what is your life on that line? It is one tiny, tiny speck. And we can become so preoccupied with that one tiny speck that we lose sight of everything after that. And Solomon says, it's vanity to do that. There is more to this life than the gifts that you enjoy now. And so he says, remember that the days of darkness will be many. That's the first thing we must know. We can know and must know. This life is short. Don't forget that. Secondly, know that for all these things, verse 10, verse 9, know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Well, that just throws a damp cloth on everything, doesn't it? Well, that's not what he's trying to do. He is informing us that, yes, life was created to enjoy. We are created to experience pleasure, but it is to be an informed pleasure. Why? Because an accounting is coming. And that takes us right back to what is life all about? Are you a consumer or are you a sower? An accounting is coming, and the gifts of life were meant to be enjoyed. Yes, the gifts of life were meant to be enjoyed, but we are to enjoy them with gratitude. They are not to be worshipped. We are to keep them in their place. The gifts of life are not your chief end or your chief good. They are not your satisfaction. They are not your identity. The car that you drive, the house that you live in, they are not your satisfaction. They are not your identity. And yet everything about our culture tells us that they are. And it's a lie. Life is short, and God will bring you into judgment for all of these things. What is he saying by that? He's saying, as Proverbs says, Solomon said in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We should enjoy life, but we should enjoy life with humility. Humility. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What does that mean? The fear of the Lord is living for the opinion of the one who made you. Living for the opinion of the one who made you. The fear of the Lord, let me define that for you. It is acknowledging God's perfection and my accountability to Him. He is perfect in strength. He is perfect in goodness. He is perfect in holiness. It is acknowledging God's perfection and my accountability to Him. That when that tree falls, I am person and standing before Him. And then it will be glaringly clear to me what mattered in life and what did not. And you know what will not matter? Is all the stuff. So, living for the opinion of the one who made you is the starting point of a life well lived. You see, you are headed to the unseen. You're going to be in that casket. For that reason, we should enjoy life with humility, yes, but we should also enjoy it with trust. With trust. Knowing what has been revealed. That is such an important point, folks. Knowing what has been revealed. Not what you feel, what you imagine. Knowing what has been revealed. That is what we must trust. And so he says in verse 10, as he brings it to a conclusion, remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body. And unfortunately, that word pain, it translated in the ESV, I don't think pain is the right translation there. It should be, it's the same word that is used for wickedness or evil. And the sense there is anything that is wicked is inherently painful. It is self-destructive. And remove that. Because you and I both know we cannot remove pain from our body. I know, I woke up this morning. All that work on the house is leaving me in pain. You cannot remove it. But he says, remove vexation from your heart. Can you do that? Yes, you can. Anger. Anger is grief and frustration. Something has gone wrong, horribly wrong. But that needs to be informed by the light that creation is groaning in hope. And that's why Paul says you need to set your mind on things above. And when you set your mind on things above, the peace of God will rule your hearts. That's removing vexation from your heart. But then when he says put away evil from your body, put away evil from your body. Why does he say that? Evil is wickedness. It is disaster. It's the outrage, the violence, the self-indulgence of one who demands to be satisfied at any cost. And when he says, remove evil from your body, is because the body is the vehicle by which the thoughts of the heart are put into action. You see, we see that in Genesis 6:5, where God is making this declaration of man. Genesis 6:5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of his thoughts, of the thoughts of his heart, was only evil continually. And so Paul says, as we remove vexation from the heart, we remove evil from the body. Paul says this in Romans 6. In Romans 6. About the members of our body. Once you presented your members to slaves, as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness. Put away evil from your body, because your body is the vehicle by which the thoughts of the heart are put into action. So as you live a life as a sower, not as a consumer, but as a generous, diligent sower, you can enjoy life, but enjoy life with humility and enjoy life with trust. Because here's the point, and here's the conclusion that he's bringing us to in chapter 12. Your Creator is also your Redeemer, as revealed in Jesus Christ. And therefore, entrust yourself to Him. You need to trust what you do know. Because only when you entrust yourself to Him can you make sense of the journey, and then you can live life well. That is why the prophet Habakkuk and the apostle Paul said, "The just shall live by faith." God is calling us to that this morning. Are you a generous, diligent sower? If so, you can enjoy life with humility and trust. Are you a sower? Or are you a consumer? God is calling us to be sowers, so let's do it widely, generously, diligently.
Thanks for joining us here at Delight in Grace. You've been listening to Rich Powell, the lead pastor at Grace Bible Church in Winston-Salem. The Delight in Grace mission is to help you know that God designed you to realize your highest good and your deepest satisfaction in Him, the one who is infinitely good. We hope you'll join us again on weekdays at 10 a.m.